Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week. Save big.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome back to Bleach Boys, the Ichigo versus Uryu Bleach Thousand Bomber episode 30. Fantastic special.
So good.
So good. Just when you thought you haven't seen enough anime only scenes, the studio Puro Films comes back kicking and screaming. They did an incredible job this episode.
Fucking
really
fantastic.
Good.
I was so happy with this.
I saw someone online say, and I think this describes perfectly, that Bleach as the season right now is a perfect shining example of how to add anime only scenes to an existing series. It is really good.
So does Django hate it?
I haven't seen the Django review posted online yet, so I don't know. I am very pleased with everything that has been added. I read the manga chapters for this exact encounter before I watched the anime episode. The way the anime handles it is so much better. So much better. With that being said, let's hop into talking about some specific scenes here from the anime. Now, I'm going to do a personal challenge here. I'm going to go through this whole episode without cursing. You guys ready? You guys ready to be impressed?
I will try to do that, too.
When I edit the episode, sometimes I'm like, man, I am dropping F-bombs every, like, second word when I get really excited. I'm going to cut it. All right,
okay, watch this.
I'm going to personally edit myself. I'm going to talk a little bit slower. And because I'm now going to think about my words before they come out of my mouth. It's just a personal challenge. No judgment.
Do me and the Pythies get muted?
No, I mean, no. It's just typically I'm just like slinging them left, right, and center. So I'm just going to dial back a little bit all the way to zero. Bleach Thousand Blood War episode 30 starts off with also I timed it out. I went in and I jotted down about a minute 45 of recap that happens in this episode, kicking it off with relevant Ukitake scenes, Mimihagi going up, and then we go straight into Yuha standing in front of the Soul King being pissed. I talked about this on my stream when I was watching it live. I love Yuha is so mad. It's a different kind of hurt from Aizen because I feel like Yuha's coming at it from a place where he genuinely doesn't understand why somebody would confront him. He's like, why? Like, why are you fighting me? He says it to Ichigo. He says it to Mimihagi. He says it to Ichigo, I think, a second time. He's like, I just don't understand why you would try to stop me when you have Quincy blood in you. Then also he says to the Soul King, I don't understand why you're trying to stop me when you're the Soul King and you're supposed to be, like, non-biased.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're not supposed to pick a side. I love it. I live for the Yuha pettiness. I live that he's just so fucking flustered because he to me is like the son where he is probably one of those favorite sons of the Soul King. And he is like, in his mind, he has been slighted. He has been slighted. I'm hated. I have a horrible life. I can't believe you did that to me. And then it's just continually what he says. So
Sam, I have something to say about that, but you already broke your... You broke your promise.
Yeah, I was gonna say you.
Damn it! I can't do it, dude. I can't do it. All right, go ahead.
Yuha, he's literally giving off. Just let me win. Why aren't you just letting me win?
Yep. Well, Yuha does the I've already won. Come on, just roll over and
die. It's like when you're playing a board game and somebody is so far in the lead. That's what Yuha sees himself as. He's so far in the lead. He's like, I don't understand why you guys would not just let me win and end the game. Like, just let me finish.
This reminds me of when we would play Yu-Gi-Oh! And just
attack
each other
just
to spite each other.
That is exactly what is happening here. And part of why he is so mad, which I alluded to already, is that Mimihagi is like actively getting in his way. It's not like Mimihagi just holding the Soul King. He's like fighting Yuha.
I thought that was super cool.
Yeah, full on like fighting. And that's when he's like, is the will of the Soul King like he goes through this whole speech first about what the hands mean, and he first asks like, have you grown attached to the Soul Society that you've been protecting this whole time, which love it. And that's when we see the eye of Mimihagi like open, like he's like, oh, it's on, dog, it's on. And that's when we find out, which is stuff we've already known, left hand is for advancement, right hand is for stillness, and that's part of the reason why the right hand is able to maintain the stability that the Soul King has done even though it's been cut in half. Yuha then shoots like a black and red aura circle as like everybody tries to help him. I don't know what that move was, by the way.
That was pretty cool though.
I don't know if it was just like Yuha. It's almost like Conqueror's Haki from One Piece, dude. He just shot it off and then everybody stopped. They're like, oh, all right. like not going forward anymore. Scares Ichigo and the gang. They no longer want to mess around. Yuha then attempts to attack the arm, and that's when we see the arm like begin to put up his own almost like Orihime barrier to protect itself.
Just pushing him back.
Really like, crazy stuff. Okay. Really, really crazy. And Yuha then continues to just basically monologue a little bit. And this is where we get where he doesn't understand why the arm would even interfere. And he asks if the Soul King's will is even in that arm anymore. And that's when he's like, you know, it must not be in that arm if you're stopping me. Like, I'm going to destroy you then. I have a curse word in my notes. I just stopped myself, everybody.
Nice.
He's like,
control.
Screw it. I'm just going to blow it all away. And I do like this a lot, and they allude to this really heavily later, but I love that this is kind of Yuha also implying that this is Ukitake battling against, like, Yuha. This is Ukitake has, like, gained control of his arm. He's like, no, I got it. Like, I'm gonna help out the Soul Society here.
This is so much more impactful than the literally nothing in the manga.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We're there's going to be a lot to talk about the differences between the anime and the manga of this whole episode, because the differences are very extreme, incredibly extreme.
The differences were like, it's like 80% new stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's 80%. The Mimihagi doesn't really protect itself in the manga. Like, it is not like this. It's almost like Mimihagi's on the offensive sometimes in these scenes. As a matter of fact, the after credit scene of this episode is Mimihagi trying to absorb Yuha.
Yep.
Like, that is crazy.
Mimihagi might as well just be some duct tape.
Yep. In the manga. Yes, correct. Yeah, that is exactly what he is. Ripped open. And literally, Yuha rips it off. Yep. Like, that is the extent of the manga version of Mimihagi. I like this so much, and I like that this also gives additional depth to Ukitake, where he is actively up there fighting now as well. He didn't just give his life for no reason. He's, like, actively trying.
It's his will trying to stop everything. Yeah,
His will is coming through. Yeah. Mimihagi, that's a perfect example, Jose. Perfect. Ichigo sees that Yuha is about to, like, reach forward and grab Mimihagi, and that's when Ichigo is able to actually overpower his Quincy veins that are coming out of his arm, because he's still holding on to Yuha's sword. Mm-hmm. He's still, like, grasping that. So he finally drops the sword, runs up to Yuha, grabs his wrist, which I love.
That was badass.
That is a manga panel, so by the way. Cool. That happens in the manga. Loved it in the manga, loved it in the anime. I'm glad they kept that scene. When I was reading the manga, I was like, I love it.
I hated that they spoiled that after the opening credits.
Yeah,
they do. They always do that.
That's a classic anime thing. That has been around since we've been watching anime in, like, high school, that they've been doing that. For anybody who doesn't know, that is when they would put the sponsors in the advertisers. So if you were watching this on a Japanese television broadcast, they would usually have, like, sponsored by Kodansha, Kotobukiya, McDonald's, and, like, that's when they would play that stuff. Yep, that is when that would happen.
And so there would be sponsors over top of it, and usually it's something dumb. It's a still shot of Uryu posing or something. Mm-hmm. But I saw that, and it was like, this looks awesome. Why are you showing it to me now? I put in my notes that I'm actively pissed off about it.
Yeah, hey, they got to make that money. This was an expensive episode.
Yes, it was. Holy shit. Oh, I did it.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Beautiful episode. Ichigo stops Yuha. And Yuha, once again, that goes back to my original, my amen brother Yuha, is he's once again pissed that somebody would dare step in and stop him. And that's when we see Yoruichi, she hops in and she does, like, her three paper barrier that she creates, which even begins to, like, reseal the Soul King in this, like, concrete. And Yoruichi picks up on it instantly. She heard Soul King. She understands what's going on. She's like, we're going to preserve the Soul King like this since it's been stabilized. Like, we're going to keep it as is. This is perfect. Ichigo then attempts to do Getsuga Tensho, but get hit by Yuha's special blue flames that he keeps shooting off everywhere.
Still cool.
In the manga, by the way, worth noting, he actually fires off his Getsuga Tensho completely in the manga, and we just see Yuha is, like, totally unaffected by it. Yuha's just standing there, like, having a great time. The smoke goes away. Classic anime part, and Yuha's just like, yeah, that did nothing. Like, why are you trying? Yuha then begins to try to anger our boy Ichigo here, because Ichigo is still saying that he's going to stop Yuha. He's going to stop Yuha. And Yuha's like, dude, I killed your mom and you cannot use the word kill against me. Like, you are weak. Yep. You are weak. And I love that Yuha, like, in his attempt to obviously fluster and make Ichigo very mad, he is full on taking credit for killing his mom. I'm like, that's brutal. That is really, really brutal. And I love it. I'm there for the cheese, man.
I like it.
Let's send it. Like, I'm glad Yuha's like, you know what? I did do the Ashwalin. You know, I'm not directly, but I'll take credit. Like, that was me. That was me. I murdered your mom. And Ichigo's like, he's flustered. It works. Like, Ichigo was mad. Yeah, he was really pissed. Mad.
I talked mad shit last episode about how much I don't like Yuha. I still don't like him that much, but this episode made me like him a lot more.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he's so good.
It's doing great things for him. There, I think a big part which helps Yuha in this episode is that he does a lot of monologuing. And I think that allows us that allows us to get a lot more of Yuha's personality, his what he's striving for, how he views a lot of what's going on. We get a lot of Yuha monologuing here in this episode, and I live for it. It's good. It's good. It's lovely. It was a great mix of that monologue with the action as well.
Yep.
During everything, he's talking trash to Mimi Hage in the manga is nothing. In this, because he is actively fighting the Mimi Hage, it makes his monologue so much more important.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's like, it's something to be said also that he is, like you said, Pythes, actively fighting while he's doing it, where it's not just like he's just giving exposition to the heroes. He is like trying to talk down to the Soul King's arm. It's like, you shouldn't be doing this. Like, this isn't what you showed favor to the Quincy's like. This is bullshit that you're attacking me right now. He's like,
you should be my friend right
now. Yeah, he's slighted. Yeah, he's really not happy that this is happening.
But just even that whole scene was just fantastic. It was what, maybe like 2 minutes or so.
Yeah, yeah, it was wild. There was a lot of.
But I love the Yoroichi bits. Where she slaps down the paper. She does that hand kind of like sealing thing.
Speaking of Yoroichi bits, right after that we see Ishida appear and shoot Yoroichi in the fucking arm.
I was so upset. I was like, Ishida, I hate you.
I kind of liked that Uryu appears, and it just to me, you know, like I know he's a precise guy. I'm so used to Uryu showing up, and like when I view an image of Uryu in my head, what is he doing? He's shooting 1,000 arrows. You know, like he's like, and in this one, he's very reserved, and he's shooting like one dainty arrow every time. I'm like, oh, nice Uryu. Like, all right, we're sniper
caught her right
now.
In the shoulder.
Yeah, right in the shoulder, and that makes her like lose her focus on the barrier. So the barrier around the Soul King just absolutely crumbles, and Yuha doesn't waste a beat. Walks past Ichigo. He's like, oh, wait, it's my moment.
It was so quick. It was like boom.
Yes. And then Yoroichi pulls out these disintegrating bombs, apparently, that she's had on her all the time, which dangerous to be walking around with. Yoroichi throws the first bombs. It's like a smoke bomb that hits him. And then she explains, if the second bombs hit you now, they will immediately like melt and disintegrate you. A lucky day for Yuha. Well, not lucky day. He calls out to him, and Pernida appears behind Yoroichi, which was that was gross, man. That was really gross.
I remember that being in the manga, and I'm like, I wonder if they'll ever animate this and how good it'll look. Thank you.
Well, there was a time, right? Let's think back. If this was Bleach original anime, right? We're going back to that time. That would have been censored. That would not have shown, because you think back to what happened with Uryu in the Okiura fight. Yep. When Uryu got his arm, I believe in the manga, it was torn off?
Cut off?
Absolutely cut off.
They censored it and just like broke it.
Broke his arm.
You know, there's
right?
like, eh. He, and just and like, when I'm with
like smudges.
And this
there.
One, we see the full on like twist blood going everywhere. I'm like, ooh. Oh. Like, that is the advantage of Bleach being in the year 2024 and it being in that adult time slot now. Beautiful.
Oh, that Pernida fight's going to be insane.
I completely forgot just how hard Yoroichi got done in that scene.
Yeah.
She
took it like a champ, though.
She tanked it. She didn't react at all. She was like, oh, I guess this is happening now.
Yeah, well, she didn't react at all. And then Yuha is like, all of a sudden gained the ability to do Almighty Push.
Almighty Push. That's just the like, same thing
dude,
I said.
Yoroichi got blasted,
she
man.
She got yeeted, man.
He uses it on Ichigo as well, the Almighty Push. And Ichigo probably goes, like, let's say about 10 feet. Mm-hmm. He uses it on Yoroichi. She goes like a rocket out the other side. I'm like, damn.
And all you hear is Orihime go, oh, no.
Yeah. I think Yoroichi, you know, I'm going to headcanon. I think Yuha was like, Yoroichi is really damn annoying. Like, Ichigo's got my blood in him. I've already proven that I can kind of fuck with him. I am on a better mental capacity than Ichigo. Yoroichi has proved that she's very quick on the pickup. She's very, she's got a lot of things under her belt. She's got a lot of skills.
She's hiding everything under the cape.
Yes, yes. She's got a lot of moves that she could pull out. So Yuha's like, let's just get rid of her. She's like the annoying bug that keeps flying around. Let's just get rid of her. Shoot her off the cliff. It's done. And we actually see like full on, they show her like falling. like, all right. They wanted us to make sure that we knew. Guys, for the rest of the episode, Yoroichi's gone. Yoroichi is gone.
Can't depend on her no more.
So that way, when they have their little scuffle with the Schutzstaffel, she can't be there to solve problems.
Exactly.
Yep, exactly.
Also, I'm going to dub this episode's three-piece combo, because it was arrow, arm twist, almighty push.
Yeah. But we got a second three-piece combo.
We do later.
Yes,
we do.
Yes, we do.
So Ichigo attempts to stop Yuha again, and this is where Uryu once again hops in and stops Ichigo. And even Yuha's like, good job, Uryu. Good job. You did a great, fantastic job. And Yuha just full-on rips Mimihagi off the Soul King, and that's when everything starts to crumble again and shake. And actually, a piece of the palace like begins to crack and tear, and that separates Ichigo and Uryu by themselves, with Chad, Ganju, and Orihime being on a lower level, kind of watching them.
A quick tidbit about that. I saw Ganju about to fall, right? Like, he's, like, falling.
Yep.
And Chad just grabs him with one arm, and I was like, you know what? Let me look up and see how heavy Ganju is.
Okay. All right. Jose, you're bringing facts here? Okay.
Really random. I was just like, I was in the middle of eating my food, and I was like, all right, let me see this.
Yeah. Wait, how did you even, where is this information available, how heavy Ganju is?
Wiki.
No, but I'd be so interested. It's got to be in a data book, right? Like, where they just threw his weight out somewhere. Like, that's crazy that we would have that information. Of all characters, we know Ganju's weight.
According to, he's about 234 pounds.
Dang.
And my man Chad just grabs him and just puts him back on the ledge.
And he wasn't sweating either.
No,
Chad just
not
went,
at all.
Bink, bink. Just put him back up.
That's why Chad's the Soul King, dude.
I can give Chad another one up. He didn't do that in the manga.
True. This whole interaction is totally different here. Entirely.
In the manga, like, it just shakes and you just see Chad going, that's it.
Typical Chad.
Someone on Puro Films really loves Chad, good. And they also really love Ganju, because they've been giving them both a lot of really,
they got
good,
really
feeds.
Good scenes.
I mean, honestly, I don't even know what I'm saying. They love everybody that's up there right now, because they also give Orihime a lot of cool stuff that she does. They're doing a great job on giving a good amount of respect to the characters that are up there right now, and I live for it.
I'm just going to let you guys know later on, Ganju was ironically the funniest character in this episode. He made me laugh out loud a couple times.
Okay, so this sets up the spot that we're at right now. We just talked about Uryu and Ichigo is alone. Chad, Ganju, Orihime on her lower ledge. And Uryu then tells them not to move a single foot. Like, if you move, I will shoot you. And then Ichigo doesn't waste a beat and just moves.
Stands up right away.
He's just like, fuck him. And then Uryu ain't no liar. Oh, I cursed again. Uryu ain't no liar. But he immediately shoots at Ichigo, which he just bats away. Which that whole interaction was true to the manga here. Different setup, but those lines and everything are exactly the same to how it was in the manga. Ichigo then begins to ask Uryu why he is here. Like, why is he assisting Yuha? Ichigo is under the impression that Uryu is not in the know. And this is something that we talked about last time with the Soul King. And does he know the true motives of Yuha? Does he know everything what's going on? Which we very quickly find out he knows everything. Which is something that we talked about before. Uryu confirms that he knows everything. He knows how everything goes down. He understands the plight of the Quincy's, what happened to them when they got left behind in the Soul Society, how they got murdered, so on and so forth. And Uryu is just like, well, no duh. Like, I know everything. And Ichigo's like, don't you understand? If we don't stop Yuha, he's going to destroy the human world, Soul Society, and Wakamundo. And he's like, yeah, I know that. And then we get this music starting to play, by the way, which was a highlight of the episode for me. This music that I was playing during the scene, I thought was so good.
Banger.
Now, it was classic.
The new
It was
banger.
Classic Bleach music playing at the same time, but it was like, had a Western tinge to it, while Ichigo and Uryu were doing their standoff. And even at one point, it starts like cutting between both of their faces, like they're doing an old school Western standoff, and the music just starts cranking.
Yeah.
It was so cool.
I wrote the same thing down. I was like, we're in a spaghetti Western.
It was so cool. Uryu, of course, responds to all these questions, by the way, of like, I'm here because I'm a Quincy, which is, by the way, also classic Uryu. That is just classic. The blood of the truth. Quincy runs through me. The pride of the Quincy's. I got to do it.
Ooh, I still hate him.
He's trying to keep it on the down low.
Yep. And then we see the rest of the Schutzstaffel appear, and Gerard shows up. He's like, man, I heard Yuha was getting attacked, and I thought it was going to be someone cool. It's a bunch of foot soldiers. Ganju cracked me up here, and he's just like, screw you guys. We're an army all by ourselves. Yeah. He reminds me of like that meme. It's like, oh, me and my friend, we get kidnapped by the cartel, and he starts calling one of them a loser. Yeah. I'm like, dude. I'm like, Ganju, shut up, man. Shut up.
Shut
like,
the fuck up, bro.
Don't say anything.
Were Gerard's wings flapping? They were, right?
I don't know if they were. I didn't see that if they were.
I don't know, man. I was busy laughing at Ganju the whole scene.
Even Ganju, like, he suddenly becomes the leader of the group, and he tells like Chad and Orihime, like, hey, let's get ready guys, like, let's go, let's go.
He was such a badass during that. I was like, all right, Ganju,
I'm gonna deem them going forward, whenever we talk about that group of people, they are the Ganju gang. Okay, that is them going forward. That is their side, the Ganju gang versus the Schutzstaffel. That's what the whole part's going on
in this scenario. Who is Bonnie?
Bonnie is, I gotta be Orihime. Bonnie's gotta be Orihime. Like, yeah.
Fair.
So we immediately cut from that. We go straight back to Ichigo and Uryu just absolutely decking, like duking it out. The choreography is amazing, by the way. So good.
Fluid.
Uryu and Ichigo are like full on. Ichigo's jumping at him. Uryu's dodging away. Uryu throws like fucking Quincy arrow sand at Ichigo at one point. I'm like, what is happening
when
here?
He's shooting them without.
It was so cool.
He does a lot of the little hand
and
gesture.
The sound was cool. Like, brrta, brrta.
And Ichigo's like, well, he's using them without a bow. Yeah. What the fuck?
It was so cool. And then Jose. It happens to the best of us, Jose. So we don't gotta worry about that. We get to see like him throwing this stuff, and then even Uryu is still fighting, like shoots the ground gets shot out from underneath him. And Uryu goes for like a kill shot and Ichigo shoots towards his neck. And that's when we see Ichigo block it with the blue vein. And by the way, Uryu is shocked. Like to see this. He is so shocked to see that Ichigo just used blue vein, and that allows Ichigo to get the edge on him and kind of knock him down, and he's like, gotcha. I don't want to go much farther than that right now because I think that scene's very important. I was always under the impression that the Stern Raiders as a whole were aware that Ichigo is part Quincy. I thought that was very common knowledge. This scene now to me reads off like Uryu had no idea. Uryu had no idea that Ichigo was part Quincy.
Does the Schutzstaffel know that too? Or would it just be
I would assume it's probably Yuha and Yugram that are the only ones that know based off this interaction now. Because now I think also Uryu was doing a solid job, and that it really threw him off. Like Uryu was shocked, and that is what allowed Ichigo to, you know, crush him. And Uryu was like, holy shit. Like that, like what did I just witness? And that now I feel like is also going to lead to kind of shaking Uryu's sense of responsibility and like Ichigo being here, mm-hmm. because now he's also Quincy. Ichigo is also
like
Quincy.
One of us.
Ichigo also has every right and responsibility to also be there because he is a Quincy. And that kind of goes back to kind of Uryu's. We kind of trashed him for it. But Uryu's classic, like, I have to do this on my own. Like, by the pride of the Quincy's, I'm the only one that can do it. Then he's like, wait a damn second. Ichigo's a Quincy.
Do you think-
like, wait a second.
Uryu was upset when he found out he wasn't the only Quincy anymore.
I don't think Uryu is that type of guy. No. As funny as that would be,
he'd be like, God damn it.
It would be hilarious, but I don't think Uryu is that guy. And I think he genuinely is like, he's very proud of his race. You know, he's like Vegeta. You know, he's got the Quincy pride running through him.
He's Sasuke. I mean, same voice actor.
Same voice actor. It's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you notice that Uryu was actually fighting like he used to?
No.
Like, he was laying traps. He was shooting in like certain directions to make Ichigo dodge, and then he's on the other side ready to shoot. He's coordinated. He's laying traps. He's using distractions. Like, he's strong enough to fight toe-to-toe with Ichigo, but he's still fighting like he used to.
So I have something that relates to this that I want to touch on in the very end of the episode. And I think let's talk about it right now, maybe. There was a question. We brought this up a million times. There's a question that was asked as part of the, I believe it was the fireside chat. And I don't remember which voice actor said it. It might have been Uryu who specifically said it. And it was something that I don't even remember what the question was. But he stated that one of the things that he really likes about this season is that a lot of the times the conversation that is had between two characters can be taken as one way by a character and then taken another way by another character. Mm-hmm. And I think that this whole fight is a premium example of this happening. And I'm going to circle back on it at the end. Don't let me forget. Okay.
I have thoughts on that too.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect. So Ichigo's now on top of Uryu. He is the winner of this first bout. And even Uryu's like, dude, Ichigo's like, stop fooling around, Uryu. Like, come on. And Uryu's like, well, look who's talking. Like, you could have killed me right here. Like, this could have been your win right here. And Ichigo's still trying to talk sense into Uryu, but he's still holding strong that he's just a Quincy. Like, I'm a Quincy. I'm going to keep doing what I do. And then Uryu says that the world doesn't need Soul Reapers. And this is where we get Uryu's full standing. Oh, my God. I heard the bells. I saw the blue beam. I was like, no fucking way.
He perfected
it
within those seconds.
Which Uryu has always been quick on the on the uptake. You know, very, very fast. So we get his new look, which is glowing boots, glowing wristlets, glowing badge, which I love.
Like, okay.
Stylish.
Drip king.
Incredibly stylish. My favorite part of it is the badge. I like
the badge.
My dude. That is so cool, and I love that it kind of gives that army regiment look. Love it. I thought it was such a good look. A couple of people, when I was watching it live, said they didn't really like the way that Uryu's wings looked in it.
Because they were kind
of
thin,
I guess? Yeah, they looked – so I made a little joke. They looked kind of like if you were to take one of the strips off, they look like the FaZe Clan logo on both of his things. But it's got three lines instead of the two for an F. I thought it was incredible.
I thought it was cool. I liked it.
Before we get there, how about how cool his transformation was? Because you go hard rock music into the big – pillar of light into no music and just the bells chiming and then the reveal.
It was
really
super cool.
Smooth.
The music in this season is so good.
Right after we see it, it goes, this is the mid-credit eye-catcher moment right here. And I actually have the translation this time, everybody.
Nice.
And full credit to you. His name is Sid on Twitter. His at is at, I assume it's I am Bleach. I am Bleach underscore. His name is Sid. And he translated both of them. So the first one we get is of those three sigils we saw Yoruichi place down and create this barrier. It's called the Three Bone Talisman. And it says, a sealing talisman used by Shio and Yoruichi to save the life of the dying Soul King. There are three types of talisman, each designed with a fang, horn, beak, and a stake-like feature on the body of a beast. It is said that the Jikomen is imbued with the power of a fang that bites the earth and spits fire. The Kozanmen is imbued with the power of a horn that drills a hole in the mountain and makes it shake. And the Tetsu Zushimon is imbued with the power of a beak that pierces the sky and brings rain.
I'm never going to remember that.
Yeah, I don't expect anybody to, but you know, that's not really the important
cool
part.
Lore.
The most important eye catcher is the one that comes afterward, which talks about our guy Ganju.
Yep.
That's the most important one, of course. And it is Ganju Shiba. And then the translated part of the really big Japanese text is Shiba Iwawashi. And it says the second son of the Shiba family, one of the former five great noble families. His brother is Shiba Kaien. Once again, we got to bring him up. Former vice captain of the 13th division of Gotei 13. And his sister is Shiba Kukaku, the best fireworks maker in the Rukangai. He hates Shinigami after his brother's death, but after meeting Kurosaki Ichigo and helping him rescue Rukia Kuchiki, he becomes involved with Shinigami again. He fights using his stone wave ability, which turns walls and ground into sand, and fireworks pass down through the Shiba family. He rides around in a giant boar called Bonnie-chan. Shout out, Bonnie! He calls himself the Crimson Bullet of Saryu Ryukongai, the number one person in Saryu Ryukongai the people want to call Aniki for 14 consecutive years. The person who hates Shinigami the most in Saru, these are all titles that he gives himself, by the way. The person who hates Shinigami the most in the, I'm just going to say Recon guy, and the man who knows the Soul King Palace better than anyone else.
That I love it. That he Those gives are himself his, titles.
He has 1, 2, 3, 4, he got 5 titles that he gave himself.
Damn.
There. So he's a well-endowed man. He's very successful
very
in his life. Yeah, he is in a bit of a way a decorated army soldier himself.
Yep.
You know, he's got all those awards. Incredible.
Reminds me of like those awful dictators that just have all those medals they awarded themselves.
Yeah. That's exactly what
Hold
it
on,
is.
Hold on, let me pin this one on.
Yep.
This one.
Like, and for the 14th consecutive year, winner, Ganju. Thank you, everybody.
Guys,
thank you.
He's just talking to a bunch of like little dolls and stuff.
Okay, now there is potential for Ganju to be the strongest weapon against the Quincy's. Because if he just starts a conversation with one of them about how much he hates Soul Reapers, he could distract them so Yoruichi could come in with an assassination hit.
It's going to be like, wait, you hate Soul Reapers too?
One of the key parts of it is distraction. And, you know, they've shown that they already make Hollows have a little bit of the Stern Rooter power, so why not Ganju? Why not recruit Ganju over to join the Stern Rooters? They might be interested, especially after seeing his feats that come up here in a little bit.
Yep.
Imagine that shot from season 2 where Ichigo is rushing towards the tower with Yuha is and Uryu shoots him down, but it's just Ganju walks out in a Stern Rooter robe.
That's right, Ichigo. I've betrayed you too.
And
then it just stays exactly the same.
On Bonnie.
And Ichigo is just like, Uryu, what are you doing there? And then Ganju is incredibly pissed that he's not being mentioned.
He's like, hey, I'm up here too.
Ichigo doesn't care. He's just like, what does it matter?
Dude, could you imagine what his full release would look like?
It would just be a bigger Bonnie.
But all made out of Reishi, like glowing Bonnie that he's riding around in.
With little like butterfly wings or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And little butterfly wings, and his arrows would have Bonnie tips on them.
With the minute they explode, their fireworks too.
Yeah, absolutely.
There you go.
they explode into sand.
The great alternate reality of if Ganju joined the other side, how different would it have been? He would have won the war single handedly.
Yup.
Kubo, let me write a Bleach book. I'm in. I will unironically write the best book about Ganju the world has ever known.
There you go. That's
the
a
true
direct
hero.
Offer from the lore master himself. So there's no reason not to take it, Kubo. We cut back to the episode. We go straight to Ukitake now. We get a lot of reactions to different characters. By the way, shout out Isane is there as well. We'll get to her in a second. And we see our boy Akon. So as I've learned, not the singer. They're talking about something called the Sutra Scale. And he says that the readings on the border intensity level have become unstable. That is what I meant to look up. I don't know what the F is the sutra scale.
Yeah, they mentioned that in season one. That's that thing they use to measure the balance between the worlds. Remember when the Quincy start killing all the hollows? They're like, oh shit, the sutra scale is all out of whack.
Now we know. It's how they measure the balance of the soul. There we go. That was for people that didn't know better. I was testing Pythies, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely.
Urahara comes in and he's like, well, it's not a problem with the souls, you know, and he kind of looks up towards Ukitake and Mimihagi going up to the sky, and he says that if the Soul King is responsible for stabilizing the world, and then he looks at Mimihagi all sad, and he says Ukitake/Mimihagi doing the kamikake, I'm dropping a whole bunch of words here, and he says that stabilizing the world in the Soul King's place would tax it immeasurably. So basically, like, we're in a bad position here. No one could hold on to that forever, because obviously the Soul King is so powerful, and also the Soul King is kind of responsible for balancing the worlds. Like, that is him that's been holding the worlds together, because it's not the balance of the souls messing up, it's the Soul King that's messing it up. And now we kind of gotta hurry up, because if Ukitake gets gone, we're screwed.
There's a special scene too, right, in there. It's not really a special scene, but I see Yumi Chika's in there.
Yes.
And he's just casually having a conversation with Shuhei.
Yeah, they cut back because there's another Ukitake reaction scene that happens a little bit later, and that's when we see the girl Isane. They'll cut back to that, and I think that's when we see all the rest of the characters.
Dude, I lost my mind because when that happened, I was like, is Yumi Chika saying this? What the hell?
Yeah, I was confused for a split second too. I was like,
just having a chat. Just don't chat. Mind him.
I mean, your boy's over here just dying, mm-hmm. You know, giant hand comes out of him, and you're over here having, you know, conversation. Nothing new.
He's over there asking, like, so did you get the royalties from that Can't Fear Your Own World book?
He's like, so how many guitars are you buying this time around?
We cut back now to the Uryu and the Ichigo fight, and this is where we see Yugram, like, creep out from inside of the palace and just looks down on this this encounter that's happening.
Down, he's like, hey, what's up?
I really like the Yugram and the Uryu stuff that we get this episode, but I want to talk about it at the end. Uryu then launches his newfound Quincy drones to start circling all around him, which they kind of look too fishy to me. I'm not the biggest fan of the design. It's like, it's the back tip of an arrow that they look like, and they're all swarming around him. A lot of people, the one spoiler that I did see, which is really annoying, people said that, Uryu does Sinbon Zakura. I was like, I'm like, that could be a new move. What could that be? But obviously, I now see it's full standing. So people were comparing this to Sinbon Zakura.
It sounded like paper flapping almost.
Yeah. This coming up fight scene reminded me, Jose, maybe you would know this. I know you would know this. It reminded me a lot of Spider-Man versus Mysterio.
Yeah.
I don't mean that in the best ways. I thought the fight scene was incredible. I just don't. I'm not a fan of, like, powers when it's like, I have drones. Like, I just feel like that's not exciting.
What bothered you, was it because he was controlling him kind of like Byakuya would too?
I don't know, but I like Byakuya's power. I really like Byakuya's power. I just feel like it's a little bit of a time waster, because you know the drones aren't going to kill anybody,
mm-hmm.
right? It's like, you just know, and obviously I know as a manga reader that it's not going to kill Ichigo. It's not going to happen. But I just it takes away a little bit from the flair, and it was a cool fight scene because basically we get like a fighter jet scene happening in the sky. But let's get to that, where Ichigo begins dodging all of these fighter jet drones that are happening, and they're still inside of the palace while this is happening. Ichigo is like slapping them all the way, getting attacked on all sides. At one point, one of them shoots the small Zangetsu out of Ichigo's hand, and Ichigo like rolls backwards and grabs it, blasts a hole in the wall, and bolts.
I was like, that's cool as fuck.
Out of here. It's like, I'm done being in this dark, cramped little pit. I'm gone. And this is when we go to Ganju gang time. All right. This is the three-piece combo that was alluded to earlier. We go Ganju gang time. Ganju steps up first, does the Shiba style shooting flower, throws a bunch of bombs. Like, oh my god, are we gonna see Yodowichi bombs again? They're fireworks. I don't know what I expected there. It is a beautiful fireworks.
Trying
show.
To blind them.
We even get that shot of all the Shistoffel. Like, they're all looking at it. It's a shot from behind him, like they're watching a fireworks show. It's like they're just standing there, like, what? Like, what am I seeing? All of them are stunned. Which goes back in. Ganju is very important because he's Confucian.
Wild card.
He is the confusion guy. Everybody's lost. Everybody knows. Nobody knows what's going on here.
Dude, the shoot stuff where we're looking at it like it's that opening from Demon Slayer in the Entertainment District arc.
You're so right. They're sitting up top watching it. Yeah.
They were just having a blast. Like, and then it's Gerard is the first one who's like, all right, we're done. He's like, be gone, and shoots a slash at it, like kind of clearing the way. And that's when we see Orihime step up and blocks the blast.
Yeah.
Like, dude, Orihime's cool. And then before that, Gerard then immediately recovers, gonna launch another attack. Chad runs forward and neutralizes the attack with his own attack.
Yeah,
I'm like, dude, these guys are sick. These guys are so cool. I'm gonna take a second. I'm gonna put my phone down. I would like to make a Jose. I would like to make a Bleach Boys formal apology to Ganju. I wasn't familiar with your game, Ganju. Yeah. I wasn't familiar, dog.
He's way cooler now.
He's killing it. He's leading this troop, this ragtag bunch. He is kicking ass and taking names. He's doing a great job.
So you would say that Thousand Year Blood War has made you like two characters that we previously
I've always
hated
liked
on.
Ganju. Well, I just like to clown on Ganju. But if somebody else clowned on Ganju, I would be mad.
Yeah.
But I like Ganju. I have always thought he's a great character with Bonnie. You know, hand to God. Love him. He's just a bit of a clown. But he came in.
He's goofy, but like this time he means business.
He came in clutch here. He came in really clutch.
Jose, you're still right, because never forget the best character in Bleach, Charlotte Coolhorn. A character no one cared about.
Yep. Yep. Oh, and this is when we get Ganju. So Chad neutralizes it, and then Lil Barro's like, dude, like, come on, Chad. Like, what did you think was going to – he doesn't address Chad directly, but he's like, you guys are taking us lightly with these kind of attacks. And this is where Ganju does the most MVP move that's ever been done and immediately creates the sand that goes underneath them and starts dragging them down again. Which, by the way, poor Pernida. I talked about this on my reaction yeah. watching it. Poor dude, Pernida's going to have like Anakin Skywalker levels of PTSD when it comes to sand. This is the second he's time like, he's been dragged sand. In the sand. I mean, this poor Pernida, like if anybody's the worst, it's going to get all in his coat. He keeps it on to stay so secretive, and it's going to be fucking everywhere. The pockets are going to be filled
with
sand.
Just filled with
it. It's brutal. Poor Pernida. Everybody else, I mean, hey, this is their first time experiencing this, but poor Pernida round two.
I have to say, this was the shot in the episode where I was cry laughing, like, just because they're all just slowly sinking into sand, and you can hear the wah 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 in the background, and then yeah, I did it, and then they immediately fly up with wings, and Ganju's like, I forgot they could do that.
You missed the best part in between there, Pythies, where Ganju, as they're sinking, right, it sinks, and you kind of see the roof kind of crumble down as well. Ganju takes that split second to then turn around to Orihime and Chad, go like, I did it. You guys see that badass move I did?
Orihime goes, yeah.
Yeah, Orihime's like, yeah, like, good job. Orihime's just so happy. And then, yeah, that's when we see, you know, you really think about it. When they first showed up, they all flew up there.
Yeah.
Like, we saw them all fly up there. So I think, you know, spur of the moment, Ganju had his head in the game. I think he just forgot that they could fly. Sad times for Ganju, but Ganju was incredible. Really good.
Man, Daenerys just kind of forgot about the Iron Fleet.
Yeah.
Similar moment.
Yeah.
It's a different series. It's great. It happens to everybody.
Ganju was so good in this episode.
Oh, yeah. He was great. But, he was really good. I'm glad he's here. I love all these new Ganju scenes.
By the way, out of order, because I forgot to mention it, but the Schustoffel is officially back. They got back from their beer run, and now they're here for action.
Yeah, that's
true. You actually just saw when they showed up, they all wiped their mouths off really quick. Like, you could tell they were clearly off doing something else, and then they're here.
Yeah. You could hear them running in from offstage. Shit, it's my time. Oh, no, we're missing the queue.
We know what's something also really interesting to think about is that they all showed up kind of at different times also. Like, Udyu shows up first. Pernida then shows up when he gets summoned by Yuha and then gets knocked back down at one point, and then he shows up with the rest of everybody else. So were they all going somewhere else? They were all separated during this time?
They're probably like, maybe if we fly up, it'll be the fastest way instead of these damn stairs.
Well, because, like, Udyu's by far the first one there.
Yep.
And then I guess I'm wondering, because it's Udyu, and then it's Pernida shows up with Yoruichi, and then the three people show up, and then we see Yugram show up separately to creep on Udyu and Ichigo. So I would assume that they were maybe all like exploring different parts of the Soul Palace, kind of like seeing what they could find, and then they heard Yuha was being attacked.
Yugram was taking a shit, just was taking too long.
That could be it as well.
And that's why he looked over and he's like,
the
oh,
restrooms. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I did like that Gerard was holding Pernida in his arms when he flew back up.
Pernida was getting a manicure.
Were you at Pernida? He
or,
doesn't speak, right?
More realistically, they were all just hanging out one level below, and they were waiting for their moment. They're like, okay, all right.
This is the moment.
This is Udyu. Let Udyu go. We're going to see what Udyu does. And then Pernida gets called. He's
like, I'm right here.
And then the rest of them eventually come. Because, like, all right, we waited long enough. It's time to go up.
You know, the Quincy's are so dramatic. You know, he probably set it up and was just, like you said, he's like, all right, I'm going to give you guys a cue. When I do the whoosh and launch Yoruichi out, then you guys come
this
up.
This goes back to something we said again. Where if Yuha was a drama major, they're all drama majors. They're all 100. All of the
they're
Stern all
theater
are
all
the drama class. They're all the theater kids. They all came together. This is a classic time old tale. They're revolting against the jocks. They've had enough of the Soul Reaper jocks. Those guys are horrible human beings. It's our time. We're going to rewrite the world so that the theater kids are on top, and that's where we are.
Yep.
Chad, Soul Reapers, the Virgin Quincy's.
Now, we've just made the story for artwork that already exists. Bleach the High School Warfare.
Yeah.
We've already made it. Just adapt that into it and Bleach the High School Musical. That's why I would like to see that one adapted.
Bleach the High School Musical.
Now, Sam, would either of you believe me when I tell you that years ago I watched a Bleach AMV set to High School Never Ends by Bowling with Soup?
Oh, I believe that.
Now, do I believe you? Yes. Would I have ever have seen that or thought that that existed? No.
No. We would have gone straight to Linkin Park.
I believe you 100%.
Well, there was plenty of Linkin Park, but there was also Bowling for Soup and Sum 41.
Oh, I love Sum 41. Love. Well, I love both those bands, Bowling for Soup and Sum 41. Great band.
We listen to what's called Dad Rock now.
That hurts so bad.
So whoever said in the comments that, yeah, we old.
Dude, someone was like, man, I can't listen to Imagine Dragons. That's just old. And I'm like, what?
That's like,
yeah, old for different people. Yeah, those guys, whatever you want.
It just got old because it was on the radio too much.
Oh, Jose mentioned some mean comments. We want to talk about some of the TikToks we posted recently.
Yeah, let's
yes.
do it.
I posted, so some backstory for you guys. I do all of the editing when it comes to the podcast, the clips, the whole thing through and through. And sometimes, so before I would try to keep the clips to under a minute long is what I try to keep them to. But now YouTube has actually raised the shorts so that they could be up to 3 minutes, which is in line with everything else where TikTok will actually do up to 10 minutes. YouTube shorts will do up to 3. YouTube Reels is 90 seconds, and then Threads and Twitter, I think, is like as long as you want. You can put like a whole movie on Threads and Twitter.
Damn.
So now I've been aiming for about a minute and a half, which is a little bit longer, but some of the clips that I've cut, they're really short, like less than 60 seconds short. So sometimes we're talking about stuff that has a lot of context related to it, and I just want to take a bit. I just want to take a little bit of it. So one of those bits, maybe I'll take a little bit of fall here. Maybe I didn't edit it the best. We were talking about the Shunsui and the Ugatake dual wielding scene.
Sam, yeah. you made me look so stupid in that clip, and I'm really mad about it.
Okay.
It was all your fault.
Okay, go ahead. Air your gripes. I've heard everybody else's. Go ahead.
You cut all the necessary context, and now everyone thinks I'm the dummy.
Yeah, people are like, homie doesn't
now,
know what he's talking about.
There's not too many people that in the comments that think you are the dummy, Pythies, so you're welcome.
Good.
Most of them are trashing me just because I'm the one that talks the most. It's just how it goes.
Good.
So I have drawn most of the anger to that. most of the anger comes from the line that there is no natural dual wielder. That is where most of that anger comes from. And the relevant context that was cut off is, one, we were having a debate of where in the timeline this falls. That was a big portion of what we were talking about is, should they have it yet? Is that a question? Would they know that they have that yet to be, you know, doing dual wielding? I did hear a couple of good responses is that one in the Stark fight, they did quote that, both the captains are ambidextrous. Mm-hmm. Because there was a time when Shunsui was fighting with one sword and Stark commented that he could tell that he is ambidextrous and can use both hands, which is a great point where why wouldn't you train with two swords at that point? Incredible.
We just read that fight. Like, Shunsui starts off fighting with his left and then switches to his right. Then Stark's like, you're ambidextrous, bro.
Great point. Another point that got brought up quite a few times is in the first, I believe it's when Yamamoto was fighting both of them. Yamamoto makes some sort of claim that Shunsui and Ugatake are the only dual Zanpakutos to ever exist in Soul Society's history. Now, that could go back to, once again, Yama wasn't really in the know on that. You know,
true.
That could go to that. But something that we were quoting was from Can't Fear Your Own World. And obviously, a lot of the light novel is seemingly not canon very much anymore. But in Can't Fear Your Own World, they made the argument that there wasn't ever really a true dual-wielding Zanpakuto until Ichigo. And the argument was that Shuhei's Zanpakuto was the chain that binds them. So that and that's why that goes into his Bankai when we see all the chains, because that is his Zanpakuto. And then Ukitake's dual-wielding one was connected by that thing, so it was one set, but it was also part of the Soul King that kind of allowed him to get that second one, and that's what allowed him to have two. And then
Kiraku's
was from like birth from his will to need to create a second one to hide Nanao's sword. So that was the context that I left out of the clip. You guys have seen it. Listen to the
Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. Guys, go back and watch that clip. It's a great clip, but I cut out all of that relevant context, and I just left the part of me going, there's no true dual-wielding swords. They shouldn't have it. There's no, and people are tilted as hell. Tilted as hell. And people in the comments, I feel bad for you guys because, you know, I don't dive into there very often. Some people in there trying to defend it and like, yo, like, this is what they mean. And like, it is. And some people are like, it's true what they're saying. We're like, it, you know, we don't know. Should they be doing that yet? Like, mm-hmm. we don't know if this is that. Some people are very angry about like that. That's so garbage. Of course they have that. What the stupidest thing? Have these guys read Bleach?
Nope.
Pythes had a favorite comment that he liked. Do you want to share, Pythes?
So it must be hard watching anime when you're old.
I died when I saw that one. I was like, yeah.
I want to give a shout out because I love really mean comments. I screen cap them all the time. They're so funny.
I think we've all agreed that funny comments could be really mean. And if they're really mean and they're funny, love them. Love them.
I think we just kind of like laughing at ourselves a little bit. Yeah.
Sometimes the comments or people that stitch, they're just like, these guys are the biggest morons I've ever seen. That's it. Like, that's all they're bringing to the party. And I'm like, meanwhile, other people are like, an example, one of my favorite comments of all time. Somebody who listened to the audio podcast came over to the video podcast and left a comment. I could tell by the sound of that guy's voice that he was going to be wearing glasses.
Oh, no.
I was just like, you know, and that is hilarious.
That's such a good one.
Good setup, good zinger, good slam dunk. Love it.
Damn.
But, you know, some of them not so great.
At least the bald ones have stopped.
I get them every once in a while. I respect the game. but I did. I don't normally look, but that one was really blowing up. So I was getting notifications like crazy. So I did look at some of like the comments in the Stitch videos. I immediately closed out of it. I'm like, it was just people being like super fucking mean. And I was like, all right, like that's it.
You're like I still want to enjoy my day.
That's good. Like, thank you. My bad for the poor editing job on that one. I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was great. Didn't know I would step on a landmine there, I guess. My bad.
I feel like we've done that a couple of times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. It happens. We're
battle hardened.
Yeah, it's cool.
I am constantly getting notifications on TikTok that people are liking a one-word comment I left on a video. It's the one how I think Halle Bell survived. And you mentioned Toshiro in there. And someone just commented, wait, Toshiro's still alive? And I just wrote, unfortunately, and that keeps getting blown the fuck up.
There's some really funny, like, you guys are so funny in the comments, so, so funny.
Once again, if you're mean and funny, we love you.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%.
It's a good read.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We live for the mean and funny ones.
Sam, what video was the comment about you wearing glasses? I need to find
I couldn't
that.
Even tell you. I could not tell you.
I just love the fact that someone went to watch the actual podcast video and like, then goes, those, I mean, you man, will be wearing glasses.
Sometimes you get got and it's like, he got me. He got me. He got me really good. I can't even be mad about that. Other ones, it's just like people being actively angry, and I'm like, yeah, all right, well, whatever.
We get really nice comments on some of the good ones.
People were being so nice. I did a live stream from the podcast set the other day. People were being so nice, so, so nice, and they were just like, I love you guys so much. Like, you guys make my Monday go so much quicker, and people were going like, hello from India, hello from, I don't know, Constantinople, like all these different places all over.
Super cool.
Like, something
hello.
You wouldn't even expect. I'm like, that is so cool. Someone was like, oh, I love Jose. Like, he's just there for like a good time. I was like, yep, that's Jose. Like, that's Jose. He is there for a good time. Some people were like, Pythes, you would like this one. Cause I had to tell them that I'm not super familiar with the game. I know who he is, but someone was like, yeah, you and Mr. Tomo are my favorites. And I was like, oh, Pythes would love that.
Wow. I saw someone say that we should try and bring Tomo in here.
Yep, that was that. They said they would love to see some sort of a crossover with us and Mr. Tomo. And I was like, dude, we're not even in the same league. But that is so that is so nice that you say that.
That man's brain is so insane right now.
Yeah.
That is what I replied to that comment was like, we are not cool enough.
He's just so legit, dude.
We don't got that dog in us, unfortunately, but cool. It's cool. And some of them and one of the nicest comments, which I really liked, because I feel like you got to shine the nice comments also, because as much as I love the mean comments, I also love the nice comments. Someone said that they when they watch our podcast, it's kind of like it makes them feel like they just watched the episode with their friends. And now they're like,
oh, I love that. Their friends.
And I told them, you know, like that has always been the goal from the time when me, Jose, Josh started the podcast. Obviously, we started on our other podcast. And if you guys are just joining here, we used to have another podcast. And this podcast was spurred from when I started working out and I started watching the English dub of Bleach. Yeah. And that is when it started. And I would come into the podcast. We'd give like the last 20 minutes of this other podcast. And I'd be like, okay, I want to tell you guys everything that happened in the English dub of Bleach because it's been so long. And I'm like, do you guys remember that in the first episode this happens? I'm like, oh, what? Like, no, like, I don't totally don't remember that. And we started asking really horrible questions in there. And it spun off into its own podcast. We're like, you know, here's what I'm going to do. While I'm working out, I'll watch Bleach. I'll take a little bit of notes. And then we'll have a whole podcast talking about it. So we'll talk about purely Bleach stuff. So that way the other podcast is just our life. And then we'll talk about the Bleach stuff on here. And then we started asking a lot of really dumb questions like we do. Till this day.
Still, yeah.
And that is when we had people like Pythes and Marcel that would come into our Marcel. Comments and leave really long comments of like, hey, you guys asked what about this character? Here's all the lore from that character. Here's like, in this data book it said this, and this one is, and then another one would be Marcel, who's a little bit meaner to the Pythes, be like, hey, morons, here's what actually happens. But then Marcel he would actually too. Give us solid lore. Like, he would come in and tell us the whole thing.
I think we would just regurgitate it the next episode.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
Oh, yeah. We'd like, oh, yeah, we had this comment from Marcel or Pythes told us this. And then Pythes one time offered to teach us how to play Bleach Brave Souls. And that is the story of how we eventually met Pythes and started getting really close with Pythes was doing Bleach Brave Souls.
Yeah. So I could add on to that because I was in a real bad place in my life. My job just closed. I had no friends. So I got back into Bleach. And then I started watching the podcast, so I did feel like I was talking about the episodes with my friends that I didn't have at the time. I watched all the backlog, and then I caught up, and I was like, I never leave YouTube comments ever. I'm going to leave a really nice comment. And then Sam made the worst mistake of his life, which was he talked back to me.
And then eventually, that's how we became friends.
And then I wore him down until he I don't even think he talked to me about it. I just saw one day Weeb's Guild is streaming BBS. I was like, oh, I got to get in there.
No, so it was very specifically, actually. It was brought up in a Bleach Boys that I had talked about because there was a time, Jose, where you and I were at Dungeons & Dragons, and I believe it was the Ichigo Quincy variant, whatever anniversary that was.
Yes.
And we had talked about before, I brought it up on the podcast, that there was one time way back in the day, this Dungeons & Dragons moment that I'm talking about, where Jose was showing me the game, and he was showing me the artwork of that Ichigo.
Oh,
and
that's so right.
I downloaded the game just because I had like major FOMO, and I wanted to make sure I had that Ichigo because to my understanding, he's never coming back. You were never going to get him again. You have to load up the game to get him right now. And I was like, dude, he's so cool. I got to get that Ichigo. Dog crap unit, by the way.
Yeah, it was
dog
a terrible crap. Unit.
So I loaded up the game to play that, and then we brought that up on a podcast where I was like, yeah, you know, I've only ever seen Bleach Brave Souls like one time, and I think we were talking about some sort of artwork from it. And in one of Pythes' really long comments, he was like, if you stream Bleach Brave Souls, I will show you. I'll tell you. Like, I played a little bit. I'll tell you how to play it. Because I was saying that I feel like Bleach Brave Souls is so information heavy at the start that I just don't even understand where to go. I just don't even understand where to begin to play the game. And you left a comment, and you were like, if you stream it, I'll show you. So I streamed it, and then you showed up and you told me how to play the game.
I just saw a notification. I was like, oh, it's a good thing I was here.
Yeah, no, it just worked out, I guess. It perfectly worked out. Because, yeah, that is why I streamed it, because you said that you can show me how to play. So I was like, all right, let's do it.
And this was I want to give a shout out to the boy Retsum, because I would give Sam advice on how to play. Then Retsum would come in and give actual correct advice on how to play.
Yep. They say, there's a time old tale about the internet, is they say the quickest way to get the correct information is to give the wrong information. And that's what we were doing here. It was working perfectly. This is a perfect moment to go ahead and pivot. If you guys are not part of our Discord, I highly, highly recommend it. We have some really cool people in the Discord. It's a really good time. Now, I will say, like we were talking about on Mean Funny Comments, there's a lot of those in there. So yes. you might say something and get randomly roasted by someone. It's all love. All right. It's all love. I highly recommend you guys join. The link is always in the description down below if you guys want to join. I want to also say, join the Patreon. Get some bang for your buck. The lowest tier is $5. The best tier is $10. But you get all kinds of extra Bleach Boys content. You get Bleach Boys first. You get the reactions in its full, uncut, uncensored content. You get your name at the end of the credits.
I need to point out that anytime Sam announces anything, he drops a video, it's just people immediately talking shit about him.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Because it's people talking shit about Sam and then actual, like, people having lore arguments, and it's so funny.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. It's lovely. It's fantastic.
The current comment is from some guy named Biggest Stark Hater, and it's just your face.
Yes! Oh my god. I chime in every now and then just to look through them.
That guy's a real son of a bitch.
Keep doing it, real Stark Hater.
So anyways, if you guys would like to join the Discord or join the Patreon, links for both of those in the description. All right, we ready to talk about Bleach Size of Lore episode 30, the back half? Are we ready?
Yeah, let's get to the wrap up.
Oh yeah, right. This is a Bleach podcast.
Yeah, here we go. We go back to Yuha now as he reaches for the Soul King again, and we once again see Mimi Hagi like actively reacting and fighting against Yuha. And we see the moment now where Ukitake's body is like starting to twitch. Like he's like actively. They are very much, I think, alluding to the fact that like Ukitake is like kind of helping and kind of controlling this. And this is where we see Asane. Asane wants to step in. Excuse me. But the third seat girl from Ukitake squad kind of stops her and is like, no, like, you know, don't.
That's her sister, right?
That is her sister and also future lieutenant.
Very cool. There you go. And then we cut back to the Ichigo and the Uryu fight. And now it is like a full on dog fight happening in the sky. Like a jet's flying around, blasting all these bullets all over the place.
Uryu is shooting Macross missiles.
It is fucking wild, crazy. The fight that we're seeing flying through all of the Soul Palace. It is crazy. Which apparently, as we learned from one of our previous podcasts, enjoy the flying through the sky while you can, because they will soon lose the ability to do it. Uryu then finally, they have this confrontation, and Uryu asks Ichigo to like, hey, just give up and fall. Ichigo is like, yo, I'm not gonna do that. Like, I'm never gonna give up. Classic Ichigo. And Ichigo asks if Uryu is gonna kill him now. Like, what, you gonna kill me? Like, is that what you're gonna do now? And Uryu says that he wants to believe in his master, that the Soul Reapers and the Quincy's could eventually grow and live to, you know, side by side. That's something that they could achieve and be peaceful. But he's like, I was wrong. We see the clips of him reading that old Quincy text that we talked about, where the Soul King's name is in it. I feel like the part right here that really 100% confirms kind of what we talked about, where Uryu knows. I mean, he straight up says that he knows the history now of the Quincy's, which I would assume that also is he knows all the history about Yuha. He knows all the history about how all the stuff is. And we were kind of speculating before, and I feel like this one almost 100% confirms that he's in the know. He is like truly in the know. And he begins to recap the harsh history of the Quincy's and how that there was this time where the Quincy's were slaughtered, and even the ones that were left behind in the Soul Society were killed. Like, everybody was gone. And he's on the same kind of train as Yuha. Like, it's, you know, it's not right that the Quincy's are the ones that always get slaughtered over and over and over again. And this is where we see Uryu do a new move. Like, he puts Ichigo in like a Pentagon jail and like locks him up.
I was like, holy shit, man.
And then it explodes, and the smoke explodes into the Quincy sigil. I was like, dang.
I was like, god damn.
That is really cool. Really, really cool. Love that new move.
Like, why are they making him cool now?
Oh,
fuck.
Yeah. So back to Ganju gang scenes now. That's, and this is the last that we will see of them, which is very sad. Gerard pulls up, or actually pulls his sword out and appears right in front of them and swings. And in the last second, Chad changes to his shield arm and blocks it, and they get fucking blasted. Now, I had to go back and I had to watch this scene a couple of times, because they get hit and they get thrown off screen. We don't ever see them get hit off the edge. We don't ever see them get like yeeted like Yodowishi does. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where they went, but they are not in the rest of the episode. And we see the Shitsafel like recover at the very end. So they're done with them. I don't know where they went. I assume they also got knocked off the edge, but I went back and I watched it to see if they show them falling off the edge. They do not.
No, right? It's just they got hit and the background was the rest of the wall. Back at the
it was a wall. Yeah. Like, there was nothing behind them. So I'm just going to assume that they got yeeted off the edge as well. Somebody ruined this whole scene for me. Someone in the live reaction ruined this whole scene for me, Pythies. Because I mean, at the end of this, Ichigo also gets knocked down. Yeah. And some viewer, I wish I knew your name, this guy. I was like, man, this is crazy. Because even in the manga, by the way, the goal was to knock them down. That was the goal. They were going to knock them down from the Soul Palace. Because, like, whether they survive the fall or they don't, they cannot get back up. Like, sorry, you're screwed. Someone just goes like, well, Orihime could just fly. Oh, you son of a bitch. You son of a bitch. Like, that ruins the whole thing, man. That ruins, like, the fact that they showed Orihime could just now use it as an elevator is crazy. Because if they do get knocked off, like, let's say Ganju and Chad and Orihime got knocked off, Orihime can just fly back up. Like, what a waste. Like, how do you write them off? Like, where did they go?
I can spoil next chapter if you want.
No, let's leave it. Okay, let's be cool.
Let me just say, Sam, I am looking forward to the reaction compilation of you reading the next chapter before the episode next week. Okay. Yeah. You're going to be so mad.
Okay, all right. Can't wait. If you would like to watch that, I'm in full advertising mode right here.
Let's
if
do it.
If you would
it,
like to
it.
Watch the reaction one, it happens every Friday, okay? Now, what time is it going to happen on Friday? That varies based on my work schedule. For example, this upcoming Friday will be in the afternoon. So if you guys are interested in watching that, we'll read the manga in the afternoon, and then we'll be around for the reaction Saturday as well, which actually I should have next Saturday off as well. So you guys are in for a treat again.
Early mornings.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So Uryu, back to them, back to this battle that's happening in the sky. Uryu begins fashioning a new fancy looking bow, but it's like purely made out of reishi and huge in front of him.
It's fucking massive.
And it's like a fully made of energy. So he uses a move. It's called Sternestab. And it's this big Quincy cross that he fashions in the sky. And it translates into stardust.
Yo. Cool.
Beautiful. Awesome.
That's awesome.
And then Getsuga Jujisho, by the way, just a reminder, that translates into Moonfang cross-shaped piercer. Just so we have both translations.
That one sounds cooler.
That's what we're seeing. And you know, it's really funny, when I was reading the manga prior, somebody asked, like, hey, do you think we're gonna see Getsuga Jujisho again? I was like, why not? Why not? I think we can.
I mean, he's been dropping it every time.
And here we are. Yep, here we are. And so it is beam clash time in the world of Bleach, Thousand Year Blood War. We are Dragon Ball Z now. They're having a full on beam clash.
Bring
in the
it
sky.
On, baby.
I like also that they launched them and both of them are just like standing there, like trying to see who's going to win. Like, so it's like a game of chicken. Yeah. They're like, we're going to see whose blast is going to take whoever out. I have full confidence in mine. Ichigo has full confidence in his. We're just going to go for it. We're just going to hope for the best. Ichigo wins the clash, and this is when we find out, which I love this, it just flew right past Uryu, and Uryu is like, calls him naive. He's like, you're naive, man. Because that should have hit Uryu. Like, if he was fighting for real, that should have gone right into him, and Ichigo is still not fighting for real. And we see a shot of Ichigo right after flies back by Uryu. Ichigo is like exhausted. He's like beaten. He's panting. He's so tired. And we see Yuha continue to struggle against Mimihagi up top. And he's got his three eyes going. He's being attacked by this hand. And the whole time Yuha, like, it almost seems like he's just staring right into the eye of the Soul King in the stone while he's fighting. And Uryu starts to form another bow. Not more, much, much more traditional bow. Like when he's going to actually shoot with his own hand. And he prepares to fire an arrow. And Uryu says one last thing. He's like, Kurosaki, I won't let you kill his majesty. And Ichigo begins to go, I still dot, dot, dot. The screen goes black and white as Uryu cocks back the arrow. Ichigo screams, raises his blade above his hand. And this is where we see Uryu fucking blast Ichigo right through the chest, which is crazy.
So crazy.
Another scene that I had to go back and double check. I was like, did we see a building that just got shot through there? Like, but no, that was Ichigo's chest. Like, he got toji'd. Like, that's how it went. It's crazy. This is pretty much the end of the Ichigo versus Uryu fight, because we do see Ichigo begin to fall down. There's a little bit more that happens this episode. But this is what I was talking about earlier in the episode. I know, Pythes, you had some notes on this as well.
So, Jose, I want you to picture this. Ichigo and Uryu are having their standoff, and then Uryu shoots the ground, and the ground crumbles, and everybody falls off, and they're like, good job, Uryu, you did it. And then Lily Barrow just shoots Ichigo like through the chest, and that's the end of the entire confrontation.
So yeah, it is. The setup to that as well is different, because in the manga, it you know how like Ichigo and Uryu are on their own platform? They are actually not that way in the manga. Ichigo is back to back with the rest of the gang, where they're forming like a 4-way cross, and then they actually get surrounded by Le Shistoffel, and that's when we get to the part where Uryu shoots the ground underneath him, and then we lead to the part that Pythes just described. So it's totally different.
So that was done in like a couple panels.
Oh,
then.
Totally different setup. And Uryu straight up like has this argument with Lilibar. Not really an argument, but he's like, I shot them down to the ground. They're going to die anyways. Like they will either die or they can't get back up.
Yep.
And that's when Lilibar is like, well, let's not risk it. Blap. And just like shoots,
just shoots Ichigo.
Yeah.
Like, but you don't even see like a gunshot wound from Libaro. You don't see anything. So like, it was crazy when Uryu, he carves that hole in Ichigo's chest. And I was like, whoa, he actually went for the kill.
Let me finish the episode, and we're going to circle back here. Last thing we see before it cuts back, or it cuts to the ending credit scene, is we hear Gerard laugh, and then it looks up, and we see, like, all the Shistoffel were up there watching this fight finish up. And Gerard's like, well done, newbie. Like, we accept you.
One
and then we see
us.
This eye contact happening between Yugram and Uryu, where they're just staring at each other. And then we see the title card for the episode, The Betrayer, which... there's two things I want to talk about here, and my first one leads into the second one. So, as I mentioned before, there was a discussion that happened that talked about how one of the voice actors' favorite things is the subtlety of the conversation that happens a lot in Bleach: Thousand Year Blood War. And one of the things that he talked about was in Bleach: Thousand Year Blood War, two characters be having a conversation, and one will interpret it completely different from what it was supposed to be.
Yep.
And this whole fight with Ichigo and Uryu, I feel like was that. Completely embodied, like that was it to me. Ichigo was so hard-headed of just like he could not get past the fact like Uryu, why would you betray us? Like, you must not know this. And Uryu's like, no, I do. And Ichigo's like, please, like Uryu, you gotta stop. And Uryu's like continually telling him, you know, I'm a Quincy, like stop trying to kill him, like I like you can't stop Yuha. And I feel that was Udyu trying to very subtly tell him, like, you physically can't do it. Like, let me handle this. Like, Udyu was basically in my mind begging Ichigo to stop. Like, he was like, please stop. Please go back. Like, let me do my thing. Like, I know what I'm doing here. I'm the Quincy. I'm going to stop Yuha. Like, let me do it. And even the stuff where he's talking about him reading the book, he's like, I understand all of it. I get it. I know the history behind it now. The line where he says, I used to believe my master, and I don't think there's a world where the Quincy's and the Soul Reapers can exist. I took that as he now has decided that the Quincy's need to go.
So I was watching that whole scene, you know, with my knowledge of what happens in the manga. And all I noted was Ryu's being really cagey. He's saying a lot of things without definitively saying anything. He's not saying Yuha Baha is the best and you should just give up and let him win for his way is right and correct. He's saying, stop trying to fight. Stop it. Stop trying to fight him.
Mm-hmm.
I am doing this because I am a Quincy.
I love that because, and I feel like even the thing I'm doing this because I'm a Quincy is because you can take it as we're like, you see how Ichigo got it, where it's like, I'm here because I'm a Quincy. And Ichigo's like, dog, that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But really what Udyu is saying is, I am a Quincy. Let me deal with my people. Like, this is my people's thing. I'm going to deal with it in-house. You know?
I don't even think even that. I think it's, I am a Quincy. Therefore, I have the method. I can do it. I know what I'm doing. Just let me do my plan.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I can see it that way, too. I think it was so well done. And I think that's the part where I mean, it's great. And this leads into what my second point was going to be, where we see Yugram just so suspicious of Udyu this whole episode, just so suspicious. And we see that at the title card come up, the betrayer. And had you not known what we know from the manga, you would be like, OK, it's talking about Udyu, where he's betrayed Ichigo. But really, it's talking about Udyu and how he's going to betray the Quincy's later down the line, and how Yugram is like super suspicious of what Udyu, and Yugram doesn't believe shit all, excuse my language, of what's coming out of Udyu. Not a single thing. He's watched the whole thing, and Yugram is so suspicious. And I think this gives new context to when we saw Yugram when he got freed from Senjimaru, and he kind of feels Udyu begin to activate the full standing. I think that was Yugram not being surprised but still being suspicious of Udyu.
Oh, 100%.
And he was still like, I don't think Udyu is going to do it. Like, he's still up to something. And I think Yugram is just continually showing, like, this guy is so full of crap. Like, I don't believe a single thing. I love the Yugram and the Udyu standoffs that keep happening. It's great. Really good.
He shot down Senjimaru, and then now he's officially killed Ichigo.
Yeah, but don't forget, when Yuha has to go take a nap, Yugram took over all of his powers. He can see shit. So he's like, I know that we cannot trust Uryu for anything. Because Yugram was there and Uryu knew he was there is why he was being so cagey in his conversation. Because Yuha was completely distracted with his Mimihage. If Yugram wasn't there, he could have said, Ichigo, I got a plan. Shut up and play along. Also, I didn't mention it during the fight, but like the whole Getsugo Jujisho just missing, it gave me vibes of Naruto versus Sasuke at the Valley of the End, where they're in the final clash, and Naruto could have hit Sasuke, but he scratches the forehead protector instead, and Sasuke goes right for the chest.
So there's also one other important part that I don't think I mentioned. When Udyu is about to shoot Ichigo, the screen goes black and white. It goes, like, very theatrical. And there was this really good theory that I read. It's actually from his Twitter handle is Mark himself on Twitter. Shout out to the boy. He kind of noted that during that time, so when Ichigo is getting ready to do his final attack and he begins like screaming that he's going to attack Ichigo, and that's when we get like the I'm not dot 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 whatever it is, Ichigo puts his swords up above his head and puts them together, which is the same pose that he does when he does Bankai. Mark himself said that maybe it's just me, but it looked like Ichigo was going to activate his Bankai there for a second against Udyu. Like, that's how far he was going to go. And someone had a great response to that as well, that it did look like he was going to use that. But it also could have been read off as maybe he was going to do it, and then Ichigo kind of caught on to what was happening, pulled back on it, and that's what allowed Udyu to kind of shoot him and make him fall down.
So you think he hesitated knowing?
Another theory is that with the visual effects changing when that was happening, very similar to the visual effects changing that when like the Almighty is activated. Mm-hmm. So someone was saying that maybe the Almighty was activated just for a second to stop it, like to create the timeline of Ichigo not using his Bankai there. Either way, I thought very cool. He posted a picture of the Bankai like activation when he is holding his sword exactly the same. And you can see it in the anime when they're kind of posed up against each other in the air. He has it in the pose where those swords are up against each other and he's about to do it. Cool nonetheless. Great. Honestly, some of you guys' memory is insane. Really incredible point, even if it's not directly related. I do think that's kind of fun to think about that for a second. Ichigo was like, I'm going to pop Bankai right here. Like, I'm going to stop Uryu no matter what it costs. I'm going to pop Bankai.
Part of me thought that the effect changing was Uryu doing some messing around with the antithesis to kind of make it look he hurt Ichigo really bad, but in actuality, it either wasn't fatal or it didn't hurt him at all.
That's a good one as well.
Because, like, they have to set it up before the fight with Yugen, right?
But, I mean, he's used the antithesis a couple of times. Like, well, the one time that we know is when he swapped out with Yuha, right? He moved Yuha outside.
By the way, I just want to point out, I'm so happy that the Schustoffel were stanced up after that.
Yeah.
When they were posing.
Which shows the difference between the Ganju gang and them. The Schustoffel were ready. They were ready to blast, where if it was the Ganju gang, they would have been sitting on their ass playing a card game up there.
They would have been waiting for Ichigo.
Mm-hmm. Like, I even went and looked back in the manga when Gerard says we accept you. It's just like a shot of his torso and then his face. This is a shot of all the Schustoffel just looking majestic, like they're on a Backstreet Boys album or something. And I was like,
yeah, they're badass as fuck.
I need someone to use that as a screensaver.
Do we want to do the after credit scene? Let's finish the episode. Let's talk about the after credit scene. There is an after credit scene in this one, and it is of Mimi Hagi, which we alluded to earlier, where he full on attempts to absorb Yuha, and even Yuha is like, you're gonna attempt to absorb me? And then of course Uno reverse card, that's Yuha's whole thing, and he's like, you may be able to see all of the futures, but you couldn't see the difference in power between the two of us. And he like just rips the shadow apart and he says, Soul King, your role is done. The Quincy King will regain the world to create a new one. And this is when we see all the Schustoffel behind him now, and they all lift up their own blue Quincy swords.
Cool.
And that's part of what we saw in the trailer. They all lift him up and shoot their beam into the sky, and it all comes back down onto Yuha as he slashes through the Soul King, and the crystal breaks and like the pieces of the Soul King just come out and start levitating in the sky as Yuha like begins to absorb them. The bodies unravel like they're fucking string and go into him, and it goes black, and then for a split second the last frame pops up and we see Yuha with all the eyes coming down him in the full almighty. So cool.
I love I love the idea of it. It was almost like a religious or a cult like ceremony of like you have the underlings raise up the swords kind of like candles.
Again, so the theatrics.
So good.
The theatrics come back in.
Yeah, it was super so cool. Which, I mean, I almost wonder, like, what does that mean? Like, you know, Ichigo, when he first slashed through the Soul King, Yuha said he was the only one that could truly break the seal. So the seal has been broken. So because the seal has been broken, now Yuha is able to be powered up with some of the power of the Schustoffel. And now he also is able to break the crystal, like, because the first original seal was broken.
Mm-hmm.
Probably also now that Mimi Hage's gone, he's like, I could just do it now.
Just break it.
Like, it's
it.
My time. Yeah. The end poem of the season of the episode is Aizen. Love it. And he says, to those who know not the absence of power, look toward the sky with your shattered ego, the one sky that no one could enter until the king was roused from his slumber. And then we get the title of the next episode, Bleach 31 Against the Slumber.
How fitting that he would mention no one entering the sky, and this is the episode where Ukitake bites it.
Hate to see that.
Next episode's going to be so good. Why don't I just shoot it down for you?
It's so good. I already read a little bit of the manga of when Aizen first appears and does his thing, which we're all going to see in the next episode. The character interactions are so good. I was like reading them and like reading
the interactions. I'm just
excited. It's so good. But I'm interested to see, are they going to reintroduce the characters that we've been missing? Like, I've been harping on this forever. Like, is Kenpachi going to show up? Is the Visors going to show up? Like, what's up?
They're going to flesh all that
out. We got some catching up to do.
Yeah.
I hope that scene is the entire next episode. I hope it's just talking in the lab.
I'm down.
I would love that. I would be so down for that.
Well, it's got to be a little bit at some point, because they still... The episode, the after credits scene happened, right? And he absorbs. So also in the manga, by the way, worth noting, one of the differences is that Aizen just absorbs Mimi Hagi at first. And when he starts absorbing Mimi Hagi, Yuha absorbs Mimi Hagi at first. And he begins absorbing. He tells Schustoffel, like, hey, I'm going to absorb Mimi Hagi. Like, cover me. Like, don't let anybody bother me. And that's when we see kind of he starts to get kind of the half covered of the black. And right when he becomes half covered with it is when all of the black orbs begin shooting out. And that happens almost immediately as he begins absorbing Mimi Hagi. And that's when it starts raining down. We get that classic Aizen scene, right? Of course, leading into Hado 90. Can't wait. There's still like so much, like with the way that they've changed how it works, there's a lot of different things that could be going on now. We have to get that. There's no way they cut that.
Basby is in the opening and the Bambies very specifically are all in the ending. So like they can't not be in the season.
Yeah, it's just the ordering is weird. So I truly do think that the next episode will be all lab speaking parts that lead into that torrent. So I think we will see Yuha for a little bit because it will lead into that torrent of Soul King little black sludge stuff that'll come raining down. But for the most part, I think it will be mostly lab things that will happen.
I'm going to bring it up again this episode and go, wow, it is crazy. We have gotten like a chapter and a half into this. Like three episodes, a chapter and a half, and the expansion is crazy and awesome.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and they're fantastic. Doing such a good job. Kubo has done a really good job, and I have a Kubo comment from this episode. You guys want to hear the Kubo comment? So I love the way that this is worded, and you guys will pick up on it instantly, of course. He said, as for the anime, I'm saying this vaguely now because I'm not sure when it's best to mention it, given the differences in broadcast dates, but of course I designed this week's additional content.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
So good, which if nobody gets it, of course, he designed Udi'sville Standing. Like, that was designed by Kubo. Like, just laying it straight out there, which is awesome.
That was so guys. Cool. I'll take the credit.
It's like, I didn't get it. But yeah, so cool. I mean, this is nothing new. Kubo has been doing designs for Bleach Brave Souls for the past 10 years. Like, he's always been designing stuff for him and always has been in his bag when creating designs like that. And this is no exception.
Yeah, speaking of designs, did you guys see, like, the clothing lines he's designing now?
Dude. Okay, so we got, you know, unfortunately, Toshiro's vest.
Yeah, so Toshiro's vest, I'm not the biggest fan of the vest.
But Byakuya's,
Byakuya's coat is really cool. I wish that there was more of some sort of a Bleach symbol. Like, Toshiro's vest has a symbol right here. And I was like, oh, is that like something related to Bleach? No, it's just something random. Like, I have no idea what that relates to. Byakuya's coat, super cool. The tag on the inside of both of them are in Bleach font as well, which is very cool. I think Byakuya's coat is like legitimately a good looking piece and it's going to be really cool.
It's like $400.
I tried to find, well, it would be $400 directly translated, but the yen is down right now, Jose.
Oh, okay.
The yen is down right now.
Closer to 300?
It's really only going down. So who knows how cheap we could get it for. But it's going to be very expensive. Oh, dude, it's going to be very, very, very expensive. And also, I cannot find anywhere to actually buy it right now. I look just to see if
it's dropped yet.
So the way the tweet was noted is it said that it will be released after the event. What the fuck is the event? There's no note about what the event is. I have no idea.
Probably it has to be a big fashion show. Like, it has to be.
Yeah, I agree. Wasn't Kubo a fashion artist before?
No, I forget the interview, but I think Kubo said if I wasn't a manga artist, I would love to be a fashion designer. So at first I thought it was weird, but then when I remembered that and I'm like, oh yeah, Kubo's way into fashion. Of course he'd be down to design a shit ton of clothes. And so now I'm thinking, like, was the opening of Core 2 literally just Kubo going, look, you can buy these at some point.
He's like, I'm going to make more money off of you guys.
It would be very funny if every piece from that Core 2 was like a real thing. And he's like, here's the Bleach clothing line. Like, this is it. Like, enjoy.
You guys can buy Matsumoto's Ash sweater.
People have said forever that Bleach has the best drip. Oh, you know, like, that has been a thing forever.
A lot of mangaka just talk about it, too.
All of the manga covers that he's done and all of that stuff of them just hanging out on the couch looking cool or walking up the subway steps in the regular, like,
that
clothing
was so hard. Ichigo wearing, like, the sunglasses and everything, too.
I would unironically buy, like, the Shuhei jumpsuit that he's wearing when he's having a rap battle with Ganju.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people would. A lot of people were saying how cool the clothing was in that one, and he was like, fuck it, I'll make a couple pieces. I'll send it.
He's just
going to
pick and choose a couple of things.
Yeah, I mean, if they're going to sell for like $400 a pop, like, he's going to make money on it.
The Toshiro's was a lot cheaper. I think it was half off.
Yeah, well, I think it's a smaller piece. Like, the coat is meant to go like down to like your thigh. It's a big piece.
I love
that,
dude. I love coats. Mm-hmm. They're so cool.
Now, I got a sad comment from Twitter, if you guys want to hear that. Did you guys hear about Ukitake's voice actor?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, he just said, I only wanted to say Bankai once.
But he did an interview, and the very last sentence of the interview that he did is something along the lines like, I'm sure I'll be back in the future, hee hee hee. I was like, oh, okay, all right. Like, he knows what's up. Yeah. He knows what's going on with the Hell Arc. He knows he's going to be circling back around.
Then we'll get his Bankai.
Considering that Kubo is very open and talking about what's going on in the studio, do you think he told anybody what his plans are?
I don't know if he's like revealed that with any of the voice actors, because from what we've heard, he's been pretty secretive with what the voice actors know. But it seems like he's pretty public with what the studio knows. But I could also see him, like, Ukitake wraps up his lines for the day, and he's like, hey, like, you're going to be one of the main guys in the Hell Arc. Just, like, don't worry. We're going to bring you back.
Someone could just pull up that chapter and be like, Kuba, what's up with this? And he just winks at the voice actor and goes, maybe later, kid.
Yeah.
You'll shine soon enough.
And while we're speaking about designs, I thought this was very funny. So we saw that they already have a figure design for Udi's Vol Standing, yep. Like Tamashii Nations is part of the Figuard Zero line, I believe. And they actually, it's so funny, they tweeted this figure coming out at 7:25 a.m., which is 5 minutes before we in U.S. would even get to see the episode. Like, can you imagine? Like, that would have been
rage.
That would have been crazy. Like, 5 minutes before the episode comes out, Tamashii Nation shoots out a tweet, and it's just the full design from the episode. That is crazy. Because in Japan, the episode comes out like 45 to an hour ahead of time.
Yeah.
Would be crazy to be scrolling through Twitter and then see a retweet from your good friend that, hey, Udi's Vol Standing is in this. Like, God.
You're like, I hate this.
I'm at work, Sam.
I don't know what good friend would you be talking about that would do such a thing.
Why were you on Twitter?
Great point, Jose. Let's blame the victim. Why were you on Twitter, Pythies?
I thought it was a safe space to look at retweets from my good friend. My good friend that apparently sounds like he wears glasses, but I guess I was not safe.
You just had to hit him with that, didn't you?
Dang. This is not a safe space.
Dude, I would be thinking about that barb at him for days.
So, hey, for the record, Pythies, by the way, which is my response to that comment, I responded to it. I have a deviated septum, so that's why my voice sounds nasally, okay? It's a medical condition.
My mom wears glasses. I can pick on you as much as I want.
I love that.
Just for the record, my favorite insult to us from, I believe it was Core 2, was these guys are so dumb, they must have been watching Arsenic and not Bleach. And I thought about that for months. It was cracking me up.
Oh my God, we're Arsenic boys now.
No, don't forget, we're the Mustard Gas Squad.
Oh, you mean Sam is Mustard Gas?
People ask all of the time, I'm not even joking. And like one of the questions that comes up, because it's such an easy question. If you could have any Zanbakuto, what would you pick? If you could have any Bankai, what would you pick? And like, I love them. Yeah, let's do it. Let's talk about it. Every single time that gets brought up, there's one guy that comes in, Sam's is Mustard Gas, everybody. Guys, Sam's is Mustard Gas, everybody. I'm like, dude. I told the guys, like,
like, please stop. Like, I want to answer the question.
It's funny with the context. Let's not just go around telling people I got mustard gas. Like, let's like.
It's so funny to just be in chat and people like, he's going to say Sinbon Sakura. He's going to say Zangief. So some guys goes mustard gas with no context. It's way funnier.
Yeah, it's like, okay, like, thank you. Like, now everybody else thinks I'm like running a poison factory in my garage. Like, so my question now for you guys, now that we've come to the end of the episode, where is this in our rankings of the episode? Where would you guys put this episode?
2.
Yeah, I'm with Pythies. I'd move it to 2.
Okay. Yeah, I would say that's probably about accurate. I don't know. I think I maybe like this as number 1 so far. I think this is probably my favorite one. I really like the Ganju gang scenes. I thought that was really good.
They were great.
I loved kind of the Yugram suspicion that was cast this whole episode. I loved that as well. And I thought the Ichigo versus Udi fight was good. I thought it was really good.
It was a really short fight, but it was well animated. The characters acted like themselves. And like, they really felt like they were like, we need something here because the manga gave us nothing.
It was choreographed incredibly well, too. There was a part where they were fighting, and Ichigo and Udyu kind of, like, shoulder check each other. I was like, that was cool.
I was like, damn, dude.
That's like getting down and dirty. Yeah. That was really cool.
And it wasn't just, like, an action scene for the sake of an action scene. Like, they were throwing down, showing off who they were as characters, and having a real argument about what's going on.
It was cool, because even Ichigo, once he realized it was a very much like a Senbon Sakura, he straight up went into that defense mode where he was just blocking every single attack.
He has experience.
He knows what he's doing.
True. The worst guy to pull that out on. He's like, I fought this like a billion times.
I had one sword then.
Mm-hmm. And like, I was a younger, more amateur version of myself.
Like, by the way, the most Ichigo thing that happened in this entire is take one more step and Ichigo immediately walks forward. Never forget, for as much of an action hero he is also a punk-ass teenager.
I have a couple more things to talk about on this episode. There was a very cool callback that happened to a move that Udyu used.
Yep.
That was a direct callback to something that happened in the Hueco Mundo rescue arc, which I thought was very, very cool.
Yes, it was.
I'm going to save that for the Patreon post show, which is the Bleach Boys Captain's Meeting. Before you go, I want to do, let's do one blind ranking for the boys. We've been playing this on the Patreon and we've been having an absolute blast. If you guys want to check out our Bleach Boys captains meeting, you get an extra 15 minutes of the Bleach Boys podcast every single time. In our most recent one, we played this game. Now, if you guys haven't heard of blind ranking, let's just say Pythes. He's going to give us five characters, but he's going to give it to us one at a time. And then we have to rank them 1 through 5 without knowing what character is coming next. And we go from there. Then we're, once they're positioned, they cannot be moved. Some people have been memer trolls, Pythes, and we'll see if that streak continues.
This one will be Bleach related. This is Bleach Girls.
Bleach Girls. Okay. Love it.
All right. You got Mizuhu, Asana, Keigo's sister.
Oh. Ooh, I don't have anything against her.
She's number three. I like her a lot.
She's kind of a solid, like, she's, you know, you're going to get her undying love. Like, I'm kind of for it. I guess I'm going to put her number three as well.
Hey, just as long as you stay bald, you're Gucci.
I mean, that, Jose, that's a great point as well, which there's no going back for me. So it's a great point.
Masaki.
Adult or teenager?
Okay, come on, adult.
Adult, come on. Come on. We're going adult.
All right.
Because Sam was real.
What a question to ask, Pythes.
Sam was real.
Don't even say Sam was going to do something.
No, Sam was
Hello?
Really excited about hearing about Keigo's sister, and I was like,
Keigo's sister? How old is Keigo's sister?
I think she's 18, 18, 20.
In this scenario, am I cucking Ishin?
You could do it however you like.
Okay, so she's number two then.
Misaki is a strong pick, but I think there might be stronger, so I'm going to go number four.
I hope.
All right. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Minnie. Meninas.
McGowan. I do like Minnie.
I like her. But she's a four.
I'll put her number two. Minnie's a strong pick for number two.
All right. Here's your next one. Totsuki.
Ooh, I love Totsuki. Ooh. But now I'm at a 50-50 coin flip scenario here because I have my number one slot and my number five
Same.
Slot open.
I know.
Do I view Jose as trolling me? Is Jose going to give me a banger on the end or an absolute crap one?
Well, I want this to be trash so she goes into five because I don't like her when she has long hair.
The mullet version of Totsuki. You don't like the mullet version.
She saw eyes in and was like,
My fiance was just telling me that mullets are very in right now. So shocker to me. Jose, I think you're a good guy. I think you're a good guy, Jose. But Jose, you've been talking to Pythes. I'm really conflicted on what my list
I made these lists before I talked to Pythes.
But Jose, I just don't know. I my heart is telling me to put Totsuki at number five, but I've been so hurt already. I'm gonna put Totsuki at five. I'm gonna listen to my gut here.
Okay, so your last one is Senna.
I like Senna. I mean, Senna. I'm happy with this. She's number one.
Do I look like fucking fourth swag Kage? I don't fucking like Senna. I'm like, what the hell? Okay, well, I mean, my list is not... I almost wish I could reverse my list, and I think I would come off a little bit better here.
I threw in Totsuki thinking you would put her at number one.
Well, I kind of was leaning towards it, Jose, but I came down to one at five, and I think I really sandbagged myself. So my list of Bleach Girls rated is number one, Senna, number two, Minnie, number three, Keigo's sister, number four, Misaki, number five, Totsuki. Now, in a perfect Sam world, I would flip that list on its head, and then it would be perfect. I would be very happy with that list.
I am very happy with my list. Senna's number one. I did like her from that movie. Number two is Ichigo's mom. Number three is Keigo's sister. Number four is Minnie, and number five is long hair Totsuki because cut your hair, I hate you.
Yeah, that's a good list. Yeah, your list came out pretty good there. So I will admit defeat to Pythes on the one. I think he had a better list than what I had. If you guys want to check out the rest of it, they're pretty fun. We got some more stuff to talk about the episode as well. Please join us on the Patreon. We really do appreciate you guys' support. As always, thank you guys so much to our Weebs Guild Captains member, PV, holding down the fort. As always, we appreciate you guys. If you want to get your name read out loud, join our Patreon and join the captains level of the Weebs Guild. And you can get your name read out in every Weebs Guild video
really
ever.
We need to get them cloaks, okay? Get them captain's coats.
One day. With that, you guys, be sure to let us know what you thought of Bleach Thousand Bubble episode 30. We all here at the Bleach Boys thought it was very incredible. It was very fun. It was very awesome. With that, we will see you guys next week for another Bleach Boys for episode 31, where I'm hoping we get lab scenes here. Fingers crossed. Make sure you guys leave a like, subscribe, and of course, join our Discord and follow us on Twitter. All that good stuff is in the description. That's all I got. I thought I had more to say, but I don't. Goodbye, everybody.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.